The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. My name is Karen Edwards for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Modern Maturity. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from a couple of sources. I'm going to start with an article. Actually, it was a cover story from a recent AARP, The Bulletin. We won't be able to get through all of it today, but we'll give it a start. Your 2024 Money Guide. Smart moves to make now to care for your cash in the coming year. Lingering inflation, persistently high interest rates, conflicts abroad, mixed economic predictions at home, and a looming presidential election. These are particularly confusing times for economic prognosticators, let alone all the rest of us trying to stretch a buck. But there's a safe path through the challenges of the year ahead. In these pages, you'll find a primer to today's economic situation and steps you can take right now to safeguard your money during these confusing times. The economy, right now, explained. The numbers say we're doing well financially and badly, too. We get pros to sort things out. Question. Is the U.S. economy in good or bad shape? In many respects, it's legitimately doing well. Unemployment at 3.7% in November of last year isn't too far from 21st century lows. The inflation rate of 3.1% last November is way down from its 9.1% high in June of 2022. These trends surprised the many economists who predicted a recession by the second half of 2023 after two quarters of slowing growth. Typically, when you have higher inflation and interest rates, you land in a recession, said Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics. But last year, the economy found another gear, thanks in large part to continued strong buying by U.S. consumers. The gross domestic product, a measure of all economic activity in America, grew 4.9% in the third quarter of 2023, the strongest period in almost 2 years. The numbers hint at a rosy picture for individuals, too. Though 2022 was a miserable year for investors, 2023 saw a nice recovery for many people's retirement accounts, and stock indexes are higher than before the pandemic. Home values are also strong. For people who are employed, wages are up, and post-pandemic job flexibility has elevated satisfaction at work. So, why do I feel stressed about money? The inflation rate has improved, but that doesn't mean prices are rolling back to where they were before the inflation spike. They're just climbing at a slower pace. Consumers are still paying considerably more for goods and services than they were 2 years ago. That takes a toll. When a burger you used to buy for $5 now costs $8, or your $1,500 a month apartment now costs you $1,850, you get skeptical about the economy and more worried about the future. The U.S. personal savings rate has been sinking steadily. This was expected after pandemic relief dried up, but its 3.8% level last October was well below the long-term average of over 8%. Everyone is still feeling the pinch after 2 years of inflation, says Adrian Cronje, chief executive officer of Ballantyne, an Atlanta wealth management firm. For retirees, it's especially hard because they are questioning whether the money they have saved for retirement is going to be enough. According to the Conference Board's long-running survey of people's feelings about their current financial situation and expectations, confidence among consumers 55 and older hasn't recovered from a sharp decline that began in the summer of 2021. Rising interest rates have made auto loans and credit card debt more burdensome. 30-year fixed mortgage rates hit a roughly 20-year high of around 8% last fall. compared with the median 3.5% for existing mortgages. That leaves many folks feeling stuck, unwilling or unable to buy or sell. Question: why does it cost so much to borrow money? It starts with the Federal Reserve, the nation's central bank. The Fed's job is to strike a balance between too much economic growth, which drives up inflation, and too little growth, which can trigger a recession and cause widespread unemployment. A key tool for the Fed is what's known as the federal funds rate, which is the interest rate banks charge one another for short-term overnight loans. To kickstart a shaky economy, the Fed can lower the federal funds rate to make it less expensive to borrow money. That lets banks lend at lower rates, better enabling consumers and businesses to make big-ticket purchases. This is exactly what the Fed did during the first 2 years of the pandemic to keep the economy moving. On the other hand, when economic growth and demand increase, prices begin to inflate. To rein that in, the Fed can raise interest rates, making borrowing expensive and putting the brakes on economic activity. That's what the Fed did starting in 2022, when inflation spiked due to a number of factors, among them a rise in consumer demand, supply chain bottlenecks, and Russia's invasion of Ukraine. This recent inflation has proven challenging to tame, so the Fed continued to raise short-term rates. In the domino effect, banks passed along their higher borrowing costs by raising interest rates on debt such as credit card balances and auto loans. Question: those are short-term rates. What are long-term rates on mortgages? Why are they so high? Interest rates on mortgages are generally tied to yields on 10-year Treasury notes, which were under 1% for much of 2020, but were over 4% in early December. There's an additional reason. After banks originate mortgages, they sell them to investors, who start receiving the mortgage payments. If mortgage rates fall, homeowners will likely prepay high-rate mortgages to lock in lower rates, reducing income for the investors holding those mortgages. Because today's rates have so far to fall, it's likely that homeowners will jump at the chance to refinance and repay their mortgages someday. To attract investors concerning about possibility, banks have raised mortgage rates even higher, Zandi says. Investors need to get compensated for the risk that they're taking. What further dangers do we face? A recession and a prolonged stock market downturn are real possibilities. The most likely negative scenario, Zandi says, is a slowdown in consumer spending, which is the biggest engine powering the U.S. economy. If strife in the Middle East disrupts the oil supply and drives up gas prices, Americans will probably rein in their spending, he says. There's nothing more discouraging to consumers than having to pay a lot more at the gasoline pump. That's only one possibility. Recession triggers often come out of nowhere, the pandemic being a prime example of that. Question: what is the best outcome from here? The best case scenario is for so-called soft landing. The Fed succeeds at rolling back inflation without causing a significant increase in unemployment or negative economic growth. Also helpful would be a solution of current international conflicts, a resolution of conflicts and tensions, along with the avoidance of new ones, so the world's economy can also get back on its feet and not hinder our own. Eventually, a recession is likely, because recessions are inevitably part of the boom and bust economic cycle, says Mark Hamrick, senior economic analyst at Bankrate. A realistic hope, he says, would be for a mild recession well down the road, one that wouldn't hurt employment too badly. And the last question in this section: what are the best moves for me now? First, minimize the harm caused by high interest rate debt. Start with your credit card balance. Credit card rates surged to more than 21% last fall. Your ultimate goal is to pay off your full balance each month so that you pay no interest on your charges. To get there, pay more than usual each month and consider rolling your balance to a lower rate card, Hemrick says. Second, make higher interest rates work for you. Put cash you might need in the short term to work in safe, high-yield investments such as treasury bills or money market accounts, said Gretchen Holstein, a senior advisor at Littman Gregory Wealth Management in the San Francisco Bay Area. Unlike in recent years, you don't have to take a lot of risk to get a decent return. And this article was by Karen Hube, who is a veteran financial writer and a contributing editor for Barron's. Now, from another issue recently of the AARP, the Bulletin, in the news, let's look at a few items here. Want French fries with that? Be careful. Research published by the National Academy of Sciences found consuming fried food, especially French fries, to be strongly associated with anxiety, 12% increase, and depression, 7% increase, among people surveyed in China. No specific results given for onion rings. FTC seeks to ban hidden junk fees. The maddening charges that pad our bills and seem to come out of nowhere are finally being targeted by a federal proposal that would require full disclosure of so-called junk fees. These would include hotel bills with resort or destination fees, airline fees that used to be included in the ticket price, and handling charges piled onto concert and theater tickets. The Federal Trade Commission in October proposed a rule that would ban hidden fees and make it mandatory for businesses to disclose their all-in pricing for hotel stays, concerts, and other events up front. All too often, Americans are plagued with unexpected and unnecessary fees they can't escape, FTC Chair Lina M. Khan said in a statement. By hiding the total price, these junk fees make it harder for consumers to shop for the best products or service and punish businesses who are honest up front. The FTC estimates its proposed rule would save consumers more than 50 million hours per year of wasted time spent searching for the total price in live ticketing and short-term lodging alone. Time savings equivalent to more than $10 billion over the next decade. Separately, the U.S. Department of Transportation proposed rules to make airlines refund checked bag fees or compensate for meals, hotels, and rebooking when flights are significantly delayed or when services such as Wi-Fi are not provided. AARP canvassed social media users to ask which junk fees irritated them. Among fees named were charges to reserve an Uber ride, service fees at Airbnb, and fees tacked on to cable bills and rental car agreements and added to the tab at restaurants. Respondents frequently mention Ticketmaster, which has more than 80% of the market for major live concerts and professional sporting events. Then we have silver coin scam exposed. It sounded like a glittering opportunity, but for hundreds of older Americans, the pitch to convert retirement funds into silver coins was a false promise that left them with massive losses. Safeguard Metals LLC and owner Jeffrey Icahn cheated more than 450 investors, most of them were retirement age, out of tens of millions of dollars by convincing them with fraudulent claims to buy coins at wildly inflated prices from 2017 to 2021. A federal lawsuit says Safeguard targeted older people and lied about the dangers of traditional investments in individual retirement accounts, IRA, to scare them into transferring savings into accounts from which they could buy vastly overpriced silver coins. The suit says, those who invested in the coins swiftly lost as much as half their savings, a total of $26 million. A settlement barred Safeguard and Icon from providing investment advice. A fine and restitution are scheduled to be set later. Now we have interest rates on store credit cards hit new high. The average interest rate for credit cards issued by retail stores hit 28.93% in October, the highest level ever recorded, according to Bankrate's retail credit card survey. Older Americans on fixed incomes and whose savings have been depleted by intense inflation could be most hurt by the increase, experts say. Store-sponsored credit card sign-ups usually spike around the holiday season when merchants tend to push their retail cards aggressively, says Ted Rossman, senior analyst at Bankrate. The fact that a higher interest rate will kick in after a sign-up period expires often gets obscured within the fine print, Rossman says. A $1,000 balance on a store-issued credit card on which the minimum payment of $30 a month was made would generate $279.13 in interest at 28.93% in the first year, based on tables at calculator.net. The average interest rate on credit cards issued by banks and other financial institutions was more than 21% last October. And finally, in this section, look for these changes in 2024. New year, new federal government rules. Here are some of the changes taking effect in 2024 that will matter to us older Americans. Social Security beneficiaries will see a 3.2% increase in their monthly payments starting in January, reflecting the 2024 cost of living adjustment. The average retirement benefit will go up from $1,848 a month to $1,907. There will be a higher threshold for how much of your work income is subject to Social Security payroll taxes. The cap is rising from $160,200 to $168,600. The rules on required minimum distributions from retirement savings account will change. If your 72nd birthday was in 2023, you aren't required to take distributions from 401ks and traditional IRAs. Starting in 2024, you will be subject to RMDs. The government will expand the eligibility for the Extra Help program, which assists people with limited incomes in affording their prescription drug costs, such as premiums and copays. Medicare enrollees will qualify if they have income less than about $22,000. And finally, a business owner? Beginning in January 1st, many companies have had to report information about their beneficial owners, the people who own or control the company, to the Federal Crimes Enforcement Network, FINCEN. Now, the cover story in this particular issue is your most urgent health questions answered. The world of medical news moves quickly, with new and often contradictory studies and advice emerging all the time. AARP sought out authoritative explanations and tips for 18 of your most up-to-the-minute health concerns. I heard a new RSV vaccine for people 60-plus was approved last spring. Is this something I need to get? You should ask your doctor about getting one before the worst of winter sets in. RSV affects more than kids. The virus sends as many as 160,000 adults 65-plus to hospitals each year, says the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, and kills as many as 10,000. We have learned over the last 20 years that RSV probably causes as much illness as influenza, said William Schaffner, MD, professor of preventive medicine and infectious diseases at Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. older people with diabetes, heart disease, lung disease, or kidney disease, and individuals who are immunocompromised or live in a nursing home or other group setting are at elevated risk. Mostly healthy 60-year-old individuals who don't live in group settings are not immunocompromised, don't have underlying health factors. Their bodies can probably handle fighting off RSV without a vaccine, says Chad D. Nielsen, an infectious disease epidemiologist at University of Florida Health in Jacksonville, although it's still important to discuss this decision with your doctor. Skin cancer. Jimmy Buffett's death from skin cancer has me really worried, given all the sunburns I've had over the years. How often should I get skin checks? 1 to 2 times a year, depending on your skin type and personal and family history of skin cancer, said Doris Day, MD, a New York City-based board-certified dermatologist. Though Merkel cell carcinoma, the type of cancer that claimed Buffett at age 76, is extremely rare, skin cancer itself is not. By age 70, 1 in 5 Americans will develop some form of skin cancer, according to the Skin Cancer Foundation. Your sun-drenched past could come back to haunt you. 5 blistering sunburns in your teens ups your risk of melanoma, a form of skin cancer that kills about 8,000 people per year, by 80%. Rates of non-melanoma skin cancers, such as basal and squamous cell carcinomas, are also highest in older adults. Regardless of your tanning history, stay alert for changes in your skin, Day says. In one study in which skin checks were performed on 552 people over the age of 70, more than 1/4 of the people had skin cancer or precancer. Getting a skin check often means that a dermatologist can reassure you that a specific spot is benign, or it can catch skin cancer early when outcomes are better, she says. On COVID-19, I'm up to 5 COVID boosters. Should I really be signing up for yet another shot now? Yes. If you didn't get a COVID vaccine this fall, you need to hustle and catch up. The most recent shot, which was released in September 2023, isn't actually a booster. It's a new vaccine that targets the latest variants. So even if you got the previous booster, you're not fully protected from the current version of the virus. Researchers who study the virus predict that COVID will continue to circulate throughout the winter, along with flu, RSV, and other viruses that send hundreds of thousands of older adults to the hospital each year. One thing that we've learned over the past 3.5 years is that the coronavirus isn't a seasonal virus like the flu. It is with us constantly, said David Montefiore, director of Laboratory for AIDS Vaccine Research and Development at Duke University Medical Center. And as immunity wanes in the population, we're going to continue to see increased numbers of infections and associated increases in hospitalizations and deaths. The coronavirus vaccine could become an annual shot, like the influenza vaccine. Researchers are even working on a combined COVID-flu vaccine. So a few years from now, a single shot from your doctor or pharmacy may be all you need to protect yourself fully. And the last article for today, cold remedy. I read that decongestants I've been taking for years don't actually work. What should I do now? It's true. A panel that advises the Food and Drug Administration announced that a decongestant in many cold and flu medicines called phenylephrine, or PE, I'm not sure about that pronunciation, on packaging won't harm you, but it won't unstuff your nose either. It's almost like a placebo when it's taken orally, said Stephanie Ferrari, a professor of pharmacy at the University of North Carolina Eichelman School of Pharmacy. It is effective, however, as a nasal spray. But there are options that do work. Sudafedrin is an effective oral alternative, said Sarah Westberg, a professor at the University of Minnesota College of Pharmacy. Just know that this drug, which is sold over-the-counter from behind pharmacy counters, can cause an increase in blood pressure. So talk to your doctor if you have high blood pressure or heart disease. Non-medicated saline nasal sprays can also help relieve congestion. So can steamy showers and humidifiers. This drug is spelled P-S-E-U-D-O-E-P-H-E-D-R-I-N-E. Now, for our remaining couple of minutes, I picked up a National Geographic magazine, Your Brain, A User's Guide, 100 Things You Never Knew. Now, there's a lot of explanation about these comments, but for now, I'm just going to read them, the short versions of these 100 things, and don't worry, we're not going to do all 100 today. We'll just get started. Number one, did you know that learning a new skill at any age can physically alter the structure of your brain? Number two, did you know people with Fregoli delusion believe strangers are friends in disguise? Did you know some sensory memories last just a fraction of a second? And did you know about 1 in 4 people is a super taster, much more sensitive than others to unpleasant tastes? Did you know aha moments can result from both focused thinking and from daydreaming? Did you know that about a fifth of your blood is devoted to supplying your brain? And did you know that if you could spread out and flatten the cerebral cortex, it would be about the size of a laptop screen? Did you know that lip reading activates both the visual and auditory centers of the brain? We're up to number 9. Did you know a neuron can reach from one side of the brain to the other? And for the last one for today, number 10, did you know that nerve impulses travel between 2 and 400 feet per second? Well, folks, we have run out of time for today's episode of Modern Maturity. Be sure and listen at the same time next week. I do hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Karen Edwards, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Modern Maturity is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.